Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, Israel's security cabinet has approved a plan to take over control of Gaza City. The country's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, said it'll see a focus on the largest city in Gaza, where hundreds of thousands of people, up to 800,000, are still living. The escalation faces opposition in Israel, while the UN has warned that Israel expanding military operation risks catastrophic consequences for Palestinian civilians and Israeli hostages. Benjamin Netanyahu's plans have faced strong opposition also from military leaders, with the army's chief of staff warning him of a trap. Now, for more on this, we're joined from Gaza by Denise Potvin, who's a nursing manager with Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders. Denise, we've been hearing about this Israeli plan this morning. You're in Gaza City. What's it like there?
Well, Gaza City is very destroyed. So already the conditions are very bad. All of the buildings are severely damaged. In the last couple of months since I was here, the last time also in Gaza City until now, you can see there's been a big increase in people as well being displaced from other areas from the north or from the east. So there's more and more crowding, more and more people living in tents in the streets. The conditions keep getting worse and worse.
And the Israeli plan to take control of Gaza City with an escalation of its military activity, what impact would that have on Gaza City based on the conditions you're seeing there?
I mean, it would be devastating. It's something it's really hard to imagine and really hard to find new ways to describe just how desperate the situation is. And each time seeing that it feels like it can't get any worse and it keeps getting worse. No. So even just to put into context, the area that's not in the red zone in the whole strip, the last time I heard was about 12% now. And so that's an extremely small space. If there's another whole part of the strip, Gaza City being one of the main other hubs where people are located, it means a huge influx again of displacement, of people being pushed into already very overcrowded spaces, water, food, just basic necessities, once again having to find new ways to search for those like basic elements of survival each day. So it would be devastating. And that means, again, less health services, less hospitals already that are damaged. But the few health centers and hospital that remain in Gaza City would also be out of service. So it just means, again, increasing needs, increasing desperation and less capacity to respond to the overwhelming needs that the population is facing right now.
And who are you treating in Gaza City and what are you seeing?
Right now, I'm in a hospital where we're treating pregnant women and babies in the neonatal ICU. So right now, the patients that I'm seeing is more related to maternal and child health. And that's also an extremely desperate situation. You can imagine the women living in tents, trying to find food and water just on a day-to-day basis for their family on top of being pregnant. And then when they go into labor, not knowing if they can access a facility on time. We hear more reports of people having babies in their tents because they're unable to reach the hospital when they need to. They arrive to the hospital if they can, then they're met with like a hugely overcrowded service. There's difficulty with supplies everywhere. And then if they have any complications and their baby does need to be in the neonatal ICU, same thing. It's extremely overcrowded. There's not enough services. So it's a very difficult situation.
And what's the impact of malnutrition? Are you seeing it in the people you're treating, particularly on the small, vulnerable children in the neonatal ICU?
So in the neonatal ICU, not necessarily because they're there for other complications related to a traumatic birth, no. But with the women that we're screening in our clinics, we see an increasing number of pregnant and breastfeeding women that are suffering from malnutrition, and that number keeps increasing. And that certainly can have an impact on the risks that come with having a safe delivery or having a baby who's born healthy.
And what does the effect of malnutrition look like on a pregnant woman in terms of its symptoms and the difficulties it can cause in giving birth?
So it can be a risk factor for having complications related to the development of the baby. So that can in turn lead to complications for the baby when the baby is born. Just in terms of basic energy, already the women here are living in tents. It's extremely hot right now, extremely humid because it's summer. They don't have enough water. If they have to go search for food or search for water, it just means they have less and less energy to do so. And that puts them at risk for being able to have a healthy pregnancy without complications.
Of the aid that has come in, that's been airdropped or that has come across the crossing points from Israel, there is a very small amount of it. Are you seeing the effect of that on the ground at all? Or as far as you're concerned, are things still in the dire situation they were some months ago?
Things are definitely still in the dire situation because the point is that it's a drop in the ocean and it's not enough. No, for the amount of weeks of total blockade that were present in the strip a couple of months ago, the level of desperation is enormous. So now even with this very small trickling of aid that is entering in, it's not nearly enough to even start to address the extreme needs that are present. And then furthermore, because there's extreme desperation, this kind of trickling of aid just leads to further chaos, further injuries. So that in turn leads to a lot more problems.
Your organization's director, Raquel Ayora, has said of the so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, in MSF's nearly 54 years of operation, rarely have we seen such levels of systematic violence against unarmed civilians. The GHF sites masquerading as aid have morphed into a laboratory of cruelty. This must stop now.
Yes, I think that very effectively states what's going on and what we're seeing, what we've been seeing in our clinics, what we've been documenting in our clinics. And this just reinforces what we've been trying to say, that this is not appropriate. The level of desperation is enormous. There are other NGOs that have a lot of experience with food distribution for humanitarian situations. And we need to let more resources, more humanitarian aid in, but not in this weaponized manner.
And what MSF say they have observed in 7 weeks between June and July, again, the statement that has been released adds, during those 7 weeks, our teams treated 71 children for gunshot wounds, 25 of whom were under the age of 15. Faced with no alternative to find food, starved families frequently send teenage boys into this lethal environment as they're often the only males in the household physically able to make the journey. They're presenting at MSF clinics with gunshot wounds, you're saying. What are the nature of the injuries that you're treating?
Well, I can't give specifics as more than what we said, that they arrive with gunshot wounds, but it's to try and paint a picture in our minds to understand how high the desperation needs to be for people to continue going to these very dangerous distribution sites each day when they know the risks, they know the dangers. All of our staff talk about how dangerous it is, and yet every day we continue to receive more wounded or more dead coming from these sites. So it's to reinforce that this is not normal at all. And imagine the desperation that people are feeling like they have to risk their lives just so that they can find maybe a minimal amount of food to survive until the next day.
And what is your organization saying to the international community in terms of whatever pressure it can exercise to prevent a military escalation in Gaza City where you are?
Well, we continue to share the information that we're sharing, such as in the report that was shared, that this is unacceptable. It needs to stop. We can't continue like this. And there's an ever increasing number of people at further and further risk. And this cannot continue.
Thanks very much, Denise. Denise Potvin, nursing manager there with Médecins Sans Frontières in Gaza City, joining us on the line. Coming up, the Trump-Putin summit. Will Ukraine be there?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.